Today, in a hyper-financialized world, bond markets rule. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia. This past week has been an object lesson in the power of the bond market. And not for the first time, a favourite quote on markets comes from the former CEO of Citicorp, Walter Ritson, who observed that capital goes where it is welcome and stays where it is well treated. Remember those words. I made shows through the week about the fallout from the Trump tariffs and the subsequent 90-day pause of the reciprocal tariffs, and then the extra hikes directed at China and China's escalation back. Beijing increased its targets on US imports to 125% on Friday after Trump's move to hike duties on Chinese goods. And the turmoil on financial markets, especially a significant sell down in US treasuries. This lifted yields. Remember, bond prices and yields move in opposite directions, with the 10-year up 12.4% across the week to 4.494, while the 2-year was up 9.07% to 3.970, and the long 30-year was up a massive 10.39% across the week, even though selling partially reversed as the Friday session progressed. This is not normal. Rumours went around it was China or Japan selling bonds, but more likely it was driven by hedge funds caught out of position. Until treasuries stabilise and start to behave normally, risk assets will struggle, Barclays analysts wrote in a note on Friday. Normally, bond markets, though a huge element in the financial system, do not make moves of this scale. After all, they're meant to be the safe, secure, boring backstop to the financial system. Macro commentator James Aitken told his clients, financial history reminds us that when a policymaker tells hyper-financialized markets he or she is not targeting markets, markets will force the policymakers to target them. Indeed. Like it or not, the bond markets matter. In 1993, Bill Clinton's humble chief of staff, James Cavell, opened up to the Wall Street Journal after the then president was forced to abandon his ambitious spending plans when bond rates jumped from 5 to 8%. I used to think that if there was a reincarnation, I wanted to come back as the president or the pope or a significant basketball hitter, Cavell said. But now I would like to come back as the bond market. You can intimidate everyone. This week, the bond market did just that. While nothing broke, the tremor in the $30 trillion US dollar stockpile of US government debt reverberated through the $300 trillion pool of assets that sits above it. That was enough to force the hand of the most powerful man on earth. US President Donald Trump slapped friends and foes with trading tariffs, then he backed down within 13 hours of his so-called reciprocal tariffs taking effect and introduced the so-called 90-day truce. His hand was not forced by a panic stock market and yippie, as he called them, bankers, fretting about the all-too-real prospects of a damaging recession, nor was he swayed by congressmen who had been lobbied by constituents to reverse course and avoid inevitable damage. To paraphrase another famous Cavell comment, it was the bond market. Stupid. This increase in treasury yields led to concerns about liquidity, the ease with which traders can buy and sell without affecting prices. Wall Street banks and investors have reported that liquidity has worsened as volatility has increased in the treasury market. Actually, on Friday, US equities shook off an opening slide to end the week on a positive note after a sharp sell-off in treasuries abated on soothing words from two Federal Reserve officials. Volatility, however, persisted amid the continuing chaos of the Trump administration's trade policy decisions. The fear gauge, the VIX, slipped back to 37.56, so that is still 160% higher year to date. The Federal Reserve is prepared to take steps to stabilize financial markets amid significant turbulence, according to Susan Collins, head of the Boston Fed. The central bank has tools at its disposal to address any concerns about market functioning or liquidity should there rise, Collins confirmed in an interview with the Financial Times. Despite intense fluctuations in the US market following President Donald Trump's initiation of a global trade war, Collins stated that markets continue to, quote, function well overall, with no widespread liquidity concerns at present. The turbulence has affected Wall Street stocks and the Treasury market, central to the global financial system. Collins noted that the Federal Reserve's core interest rate tool is not the only instrument it can use to address liquidity or market functioning issues. The decision to intervene by the Fed would depend on the conditions observed in the market, added Collins. The Fed would absolutely be prepared to help stabilize financial markets if conditions became disorderly. Separately, New York Fed Reserve boss John Williams said the U.S. economy is not entering a period of high inflation and low growth, and the Fed will act to keep so-called stagflation at bay. Anyway, at the close on Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average added 1.56%, while the S&P 500 added 1.81%, though the benchmark index is still down about 13% from its February 19th all-time closing high, and the Nasdaq Composite added 2.06%. All were higher across the week, but with record-breaking swings. In Friday's session on Wall Street, all 11 of the S&P 500 industry groups were higher, paced by materials, information technology, and energy. Among the mega-cap techs, Apple led with a 4.1% advance amid speculation it could receive an exemption from Trump's 145% tariff rate on Chinese exports. Tesla slipped 0.1%, while Nvidia was up 3.12% on the day. JP Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo each had better than expected quarterly results, kicking off the March reporting season. They were all higher across the week, but were still down for the year between 1% and 11%. The advance came despite an unexpected plunge in the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index to 50.8 in April from 57 in March, and that was below expectations. Consumers have spiraled from anxious to petrified, Pantheon Macroeconomics said. Households 1 year ahead inflation expectations soared to 6.7%. That's the highest since 1981, from 4.9% in March, while 5 to 10 year ahead expectations rose to 4.4%. That's the highest level since June 1991, from 4.1%. Data on US retail sales for March did shed light on the health of the consumer, but investors will discount the report to some extent because it covers a period before Trump's April 2nd tariff announcement. US consumer prices unexpectedly fell in March too, but inflation risks are tilted to the upside after Donald Trump doubled down on tariffs on imported Chinese goods, even as he lowered duties on other nations. The consumer price index dipped 0.1% last month, after gaining 0.2% in February, according to the Labor Department figures. Year-to-date, the CPI added 2.4% after going 2.8% higher in February. Excluding the volatile food and energy components, the CPI gained 0.1% after climbing 0.2% in February. Now, there was one relatively consistent bright spot, and that was gold, with futures for June delivery up 2.4% to $3,255 a troy ounce. There were some reports that holders are now shipping COMEX gold holdings back to Europe and out of the US, seeking perhaps even safer harbours. Silver was up to $32.20. Elsewhere in commodities trading, crude oil for delivery in May rose 2.43% to hit $61.50 a barrel, while the June Brent oil contract rose 2.18% to trade at $64.69 a barrel, but both were still down across the week on recession fears, with demand for oil potentially falling. The US dollar was way down, with the DXY down to 99.92, and that's down 2.84 across the week and down more than 7% year to date. As a result, the euro US dollar was up 1.43% to 1.13, while the US dollar Japanese yen fell 0.63% to 143.52. Money is flowing into the Swiss franc, which has risen to a decade high against the US dollar at 0.8153, as well as the Japanese yen. investors should consider selling market rallies until the full impact of the tariffs is understood. That's according to UBS strategists. Trump's administration isn't as impervious to market pain as it may have appeared for a while. Its pain threshold has just come into view, they said. The US isn't picking a trade fight with all trading partners. Not today. Anyway, according to UBS, consensus forecasts have been optimistic, predicting S&P 500 earnings growth of 11.2% in 2025 and 12.4% over the next 12 months. However, the strategists believe that if the real forward earnings estimate were to reflect a 5% contraction due to tariffs, current valuation multiples would be inconsistent with a potential recession and significant domestic demand collapse. The impact on GDP and domestic demand could be substantial, necessitating a downward revision of earnings growth to low single digits or potentially even flat growth. The Federal Reserve's capacity to offset this growth weakness was also questioned by UBS. The minutes from the March 18th and 19th Fed meetings signaled concerns about persistent tariff-induced inflation, and UBS's economic team projects core PCE to rise above 4%, even with the reduced tariffs. Given the Fed's cautious stance, immediate intervention is unlikely. We think the Fed is likely to err on the side of being reactive rather than proactive. The stock market is very unsettled as investors weigh how to price any economic fallout from the changing tariff backdrop, said Mark Leschini, chief investment strategist at January Montgomery Scott. The market is kind of trapped by the level of uncertainty that lurks out there, he said, and therefore investors are largely unwilling to make big bets in one direction or another. In Europe, European stocks lost ground on Friday, with the Stock 600 down for a third week after a surge in volatility in response to abrupt US tariff shifts that deepened fears over the economic impact of a trade war. The Stock 600 actually briefly hit a near 1.5-year low earlier in the week, but then surged on Thursday after the tariff pause, with both the benchmark and several regional indices having their strongest session since 2022. But then the Stock 600 fell 1.8% on a weekly basis. That's the third straight week in the red. And regional indices were a bit mixed on the day as well, with trade-exposed Germany falling 1%, the CAC 40 in France down 0.3%, while the UK's FTSE was actually up 0.6% on better economic news there. The 90-day tariff pause shifts the focus on whether the US will strike trade deals with individual countries. The EU held off on retaliatory levies, and Trade Commissioner Maros Stefkovic will hold talks with US officials on Monday. Despite global volatility, Eurozone financial markets are actually functioning well amid global turbulence, and the European Central Bank is attentive to the impact of the US dollar's depreciation, ECB President Christine Lagarde said. The ECB's policy meeting next Thursday, where money markets are fully priced in a quarter point cut, will be closely watched for policymakers' views on how tariffs are impacting the economic outlook. Among individual stocks, Stellantis shares dropped 3.8% after the carmaker's first quarter shipments were down 9% compared to last year, and shares of BNP Paribas lost 2.4% after a report the ECB was opposed to its using a favourable capital treatment for its deal to buy French insurer AXA's asset management business. The UK economy expanded by 0.5% in February compared to the previous month. That's according to official data from Friday, rebounding from a modest decline in January. The Office for National Statistics said growth in February was broad-based across services and manufacturing. In January, the economy contracted by 0.1%, mainly due to a decline in the production sector. The ONS, which publishes provisional figures, said a 0.3% growth in the services sector fueled the expected jump in growth. In January, services had seen a 0.1% monthly rise. As a result, the British pound rose around 0.19% on Friday against the dollar to 1.30. But these February figures may represent the last period of growth before concerns over a global trade war began to weigh on business investment and consumer spending. This month, households will also face sharp increases in utility bills and council tax, while employers are dealing with $25 billion worth of tax rises. Britain's economy did expand by 1.1% in 2023, and in March, government budget forecasters lowered their growth for 25 to 1% from 2%, though they expect a stronger performance of 1.9% in 2026. Even prior to the tariff announcement, economic activity in the UK and across Europe had slowed amid uncertainty over US trade policy. British businesses reported pulling back on hiring and investment plans in response to a sharp rise in employment taxes and the minimum wage that took effect in April. Germany's new government is unlikely to engineer a strong economic rebound this year, despite a sweeping fiscal stimulus plan. That's according to Capital Economics. While the coalition agreement outlines substantial infrastructure and defence investments, the economic research firm expects external challenges, particularly from the US, to limit near-term impacts. The German government aims to increase infrastructure spending by around 150 billion euros between 2025 and 2029. That's equivalent to about 0.7% of GDP per year. Although this marks a significant ramp-up, Capital Economics calls the plan ambitious and said a more realistic figure will be closer to 0.5% of GDP per year. On defence, the firm reiterated expectations for spending to rise from 2.1% of GDP in 2024 to about 3.5% by 2027. And additional measures to stimulate activity include tax cuts for businesses, incentives for labour participation, and targeted support for sectors such as restaurants, EVs, and agriculture. However, those are not expected to drive meaningful growth this year, they said. And as Friedrich Merz prepares to take office, Capital Economics notes that the coalition agreement has already been overtaken by events to an extent, with US trade tensions likely to shape the near-term outlook. It will take time to approve new policies and get the investment spending underway, so any benefits this year will be small and probably offset by the drag from US tariffs, to which Germany is a lot more exposed than most Eurozone countries, Capital Economics wrote on Friday. And Morgan Stanley is advising clients to remain cautious on European equities, urging them to fade the recent bounce and focus instead on more defensive areas of the market. According to the bank's strategists, despite the rebound, valuations do not fully reflect the risk of a recession or a material slowdown in growth. While stocks with high US exposure have recently outperformed, the Wall Street firm is sceptical this trend will last. European stocks with high US exposure have begun to recover of late. We would fade this tactical rebound, they wrote. In Asia, Japanese stocks were by far the worst performers, given that the country holds larger exposures to both the US and China. Mainland Chinese stocks fell relatively less than their peers, boosted by apparent buying from state-backed funds, China's so-called national team. Japan's Nikkei 225 slumped on Friday in a brutal end to a volatile week as investors worried about the economic fallout from the rapidly escalating US-China trade war, as well as a strong yen that has been lifted by safe haven flows. The Nikkei ended 2.96% lower to 33,584 after declining as much as 5% earlier in the session, and the broader TOPIX closed down 2.85% to 2,466. Risks in equities are too high right now with such huge volatilities every day. The best thing to do, I would say, is to stay away from the market, said a senior trader at TD Asset Management. The Nikkei started the week sliding to an 18-month low on Monday, then surged 6% on Tuesday before slipping again on Wednesday. And on Thursday, it soared 9% to its biggest one-day gain since August. And then the Nikkei lost 0.6% for the week. Sudden moves underscores investor restlessness as they try to gauge the risks from a raft of tit-for-tat tariff headlines. Losses were aimed chiefly at sectors with big exposures to international trade, such as automobiles and technology, which faced slowing demand in both the US and China. Japan took some relief from Trump postponing 24% tariffs against the country, but Citi analysts note that Trump's 10% universal tariffs plus an additional 25% levy on automobiles still presented near-term headwinds. Actually, Citi slashed its 2025 gross domestic product outlook for Japan and pushed forward expectations for the Bank of Japan's next interest rate hike to March 2026, from June 2025. Still, Xi said that Japan will avoid a recession this year on strength of personal consumption, following another round of bumper spring wage hikes. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell 0.6 and 0.2% respectively, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index lost 0.5%. Chinese state-owned funds have been snapping up more local equities this week, helping brace markets against worse trading relations with the US. Beijing vowed more support for local markets, while also outlined plans to release more stimulus. Local media reports showed officials are considering expediting planned stimulus measures in the face of a US trade war. This notion drove some buying into domestically exposed Chinese stocks, especially in sectors such as industrials and consumer goods. But weaker than expected Chinese inflation data released during the week indicated that Beijing had more work to do to support the economy. Trump's tariffs, the 145% tariffs, which took effect on Thursday, are expected to further complicate the government's efforts. Broader Asian stocks were all negative, reversing course after a short-lived rebound in the prior session. South Korea's Kospi lost 1.3%, while the Nifty 50 gained 1.92%. The Indian VIX, though, which measures the implied volatility of Nifty 50 options, was down 7.73% to 1977. The Australian share market closed low on Friday, sealing a week that had the exchange record some of its most outsized moves since 2020 as a trade war between the world's two largest economic powers gathered momentum. The ASX 200 fell 0.8% to 7,646.5 points at the close. The index dropped more than 2% earlier in the session, but improved in the afternoon as US futures climbed. The ASX 200 tumbled around 0.3% this week, its second consecutive weekly loss. Technology, energy and bank stocks were sold off, with National Australia Bank, Westpac and ANZ down more than 1%. Commonwealth Bank, though, bucked the trend, edging just 0.1% higher, 254.68. Energy stocks also fell despite the rise in oil prices, with Woodside down 2.1% to $19.63 and Santos 1.1% down to $5.50. Gold miners were among the strongest performers, though, as the price of the precious metal hit record levels. Emerald Resources jumped 8.4% to $4.12, and Newmont was 5.4% up at $83.31. Mineral Resources dipped 2%, though, to $16.67, pairing an earlier fall after Jarden's Securities upgraded the stock from sell to underweight. Investors are redirecting money, once bound for Wall Street and fast-growing Silicon Valley tech giants, back towards the Australian share market, as intense volatility in the US turned the ASX into, believe it or not, a safe haven. Despite a drop on Friday, taking the ASX 200's fall this year to 6.3%, the local benchmark has performed far better than Wall Street, where the S&P 500 is down more than 10% and the NASDAQ down 15%. Economically, it's potentially more interesting from the Australian perspective versus in the US, as the tariffs are going to impact a number of US domestic companies and will slow growth in the US economy. There should be an adjustment there, said Jeff Wilson, who oversees $6 billion worth of investment as Chief Investment Officer at Wilson Asset Management. Australia is in an excellent position to weather any economic storm. And local equities are also trading at a discount compared to their US and European counterparts, offering opportunities for global investors. The Australian share market currently trades on a price-to-earnings ratio of 17 times, much lower than the S&P 500's 21 times. And finally, Bitcoin was sitting around $83,300, having had a volatile week, though perhaps less than some other market sectors. It's 10% lower year-to-date, but still up 30% from a year ago and 102% from 3 years back. So ahead, we must expect more volatility, more uncertainty in the market. And for many people, the best thing to do is to do nothing and let things play out. For those a bit more sporty and perhaps enjoying the volatility, traders in particular, remember that for every trade that wins, there's a loser somewhere else. And that could have consequences later. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.